our guest from the AG's office, Mr. Santeres, with your team. You're welcome. And the ministry is here with us, as well as the national department representative. I can see the Mr. Mazubane. And your colleague, and our colleagues, friends, they know them, who they are. let me apologize for being behind schedule. We were supposed to start at 2 p.m., but because of other meetings that we attended, myself and the Honorable Sosibo, faster than me, but we were together in that particular meeting. So, I apologize for that. Our agenda today, we are starting, it's the beginning of our preparations for the, in fact, we are not longer preparing, we are already in now. The BRRR process, where we are evaluating the performance of the department for the previous financial year. We know that we embarked on this process last year, and there were issues that were raised in the report, annual report of the department, as well as the other constitutional supporting, I mean, all institutions that are supporting the constitutional democracy. One of them is the AG, FSC, the Public Service Commission, Human Rights Commission, and the Public Protector. Unfortunately, all of those institutions I've mentioned, they have been before this portfolio committee to present the work that they have done in complementing the work of the portfolio committee. So we are on that process now. Areas that have been discovered by the AG last year, we are expecting that there has been improvement, and all of us, we committed ourselves that will make sure that those issues that have been raised in particular by the Auditor General are going to be addressed. And I'm saying all of us. It was a collective decision that we took, undertook the department as well as Parliament as on its oversight responsibility. So we're going to hear from the Auditor General what impact, what is the response effect from the executive, as well as the impact of our oversight in making sure that those issues that were raised are addressed, because they are not addressed for the sake of being addressing them. The most importantly is to make sure that there is good governance, as well as the services are being provided adequately or appropriately. So, and the funds that have been appropriated by Parliament are utilized appropriately. And there is value for money. So we are going to hear from the Auditor General today. You are more than welcome. Thank you so much for keeping us on our toes, because you are also keeping us on our toes, not only the department. The information that is provided to us is very much important to us, because it empowers us to strengthen or intensify our oversight. So we really, really appreciate your work. You're more than welcome. Over to you, Mr. Fanfiren. But I think it is important, because there's a new lady that is not familiar to us, it would be important for us to introduce ourselves so that we know each other who is here, because they are unfamiliar faces. Honorable Men, can I start with you? Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Gloria Bowman. I'm a member of this committee.
Dumela, ke ne ke mashishi leloko la committee. Ke a leboga.
Good afternoon. I'm Lokhan, Mr. Member of the committee.
Kasal Mathale, committee member.
Sanbonan. My name is Ketama Baratole, member of this committee. Thank you, ma'am.
Good afternoon. It's Roy Bula, member of this committee.
Good afternoon. My name is Makoso Zananjebe, member of the committee. I just missed about 3.5 months of my work. I was 10 at the gate, you know, up there. He said, no, I'm not ready. I can't accept it. I must come back and collect many things. So I'm back here.
Good afternoon, Steven Mukalapa, member of the committee.
Morenonge, mntu wabantu majoba, ilungile committee. Ndiyabulela.
Good afternoon, my name is Jaluso Sibo, a whip of the committee.
Good afternoon, my name is Sam Smith and I'm a researcher for the Democratic Alliance.
Good afternoon, my name is Sibo Maputa from PMG.
Lerumo Kalako from Ministry.
I'm Otiku Hussain, also from the Ministry. Apologies, Madam Chair, I thought my voice was loud enough to carry.
Thanks. My name is Tapela Mashalani from DHS. Oh, I'm responsible for internal audit risk management and special investigations. I'm responsible for internal audit risk management and special investigations.
Oh, yeah. I'm Mkombe Yango from the National Department of Human Settlements and Finance.
My name is Kavelo Makita. I'm from the Auditor General.
Dorothy Bruno, I'm from the Auditor General from the Northwest Province.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, members. My name is Lawrence van Fiesel. I'm the business executive responsible for, amongst others, this portfolio.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members and other colleagues here present. My name is Andres Geto from the Office of the Auditor General, and I'm Senior Manager responsible for the audit of the National Department of Human Settlements.
Good afternoon, I'm Luya Potoa, the Researcher for Portfolio Committee.
Hi, good day. My name is Kodisa Pasia, I'm the Secretary.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Maybe just to explain to the rest of the committee also why I brought my colleague to my left as I from the Northwest Province. She's just here in an observing capacity to get a feel for how we engage with our portfolio committees at national level. Andres will be doing the presentation for us today, and you are welcome to stop him at any time, and then afterwards, like always, we will engage in person. Thank you very much. Over to Andres.
Thank you, Lawrence. Chairperson, without further ado, I've handed out a couple of documents, and the first document I'll refer the committee's attention to is this one-page document with the sustainable summary. Chairperson, while the thing is still loading, Honorable Bula made quite an interesting remark just when he walked in. He said, yeah, I noticed that I only have red ties. And I said, no, I've got all sorts of ties. I've got small ones, big ones. person was, even a bow tie, a cravat, like on the world, Mukhalapa, but they are already. And Jefferson, just a point of observation, I think as the committee is quite familiar with my presentation now, but Mr. Van Vieren has pointed it out because I tend to speak quite fast when I get excited, and the committee knows this, so please feel free to stop at any point in time when I need to repeat something or clarify any method that requires clarity. Jefferson, as mentioned, this specific page sets forth the overall audit outcome for the portfolio. It's supposed to give us a snapshot so that we know where we're standing as a portfolio. And the reason why we're saying portfolio is it gives us the audit outcomes for the national department and then all the entities reporting to the national departments within the portfolio. You would also notice that the numbering on the left is a little bit strange, but that's because we've got one national department and then 10 entities. So we're trying to put a 1 to 10, it's just group per entity and then the one department. And then also, what's also new or worth noting on this slide is the EAAB at bottom, the State Agency Affairs Board. This agency did not form part of the human settlement portfolio in the previous financial years and has now been moved and included, and as such the results of this entity are included in the portfolio. Now we move on to what is this slide now basically telling us. The first point of, I think, the most important piece of information that we must interpret from the slide is the block that has the audit outcomes. So in terms of the audit outcomes, we've got the different colors in there. If you look at the bottom, we've got legend explaining each individual outcome for each entity. So in terms of the outcome for the national department, it's yellow, which means financially unqualified, but with findings from predetermined objectives or compliance. And then where you have green, that means it's financially unqualified, with no finding from predetermined objectives or compliance. In other words, what we as Office of the AG refer to as running a clean administration. You would recall, Pepper said, I'm giving you the background with regard to these three criteria, because in terms of the Public Audit Act, the Office of the AG is supposed to give an opinion on the financial affairs of the entity, and then also in terms of its performance, so we must give you an opinion on performance information, and then also in terms of the management, when they were busy performing, did they comply with the preset legislation or rules as included in the PFMA or the regulation. So in terms of movement, you'll see the department has remained unchanged, so they were also financially unqualified but worth filing on predetermined objectives and complying in the previous year. NHBRC has improved its financial opinion, and that is basically because last year they had a qualification on the completeness of irregular expenditure, and they were able to avoid that qualification in the current year and thereby improving on the audit outcome. The rest of the portfolio has remained relatively the same, except to Belisha Homes and Servcon Housing Solutions. Now, these entities are blue, and they are blue because of the reason that they were outstanding as at the date of our reporting. They had not finalized the audits. But it's also worth noting that these audits were in the process of being liquidated. So they are going to report on the liquidation basis once they finalize the audit report. So we're just noting it as a regression because it's outstanding as at the date of our reporting. But once those audits are finalized, we will certainly relay the information. Further to the right-hand side of the slide, it gives us now the detail of where we had findings noted per entity. And also, Chairperson, I think I must also stop here quickly and highlight to the committee that in terms of this portfolio, there are only two entities which are audited by the AGSA ourselves. So that's the National Department of Human Settlements and then NHBRC. The rest of the entities are what we call Section 4.3. In terms of the Public Audit Act, Section 4.3, those are entities which the AG has opted not to audit. They are being audited by private entities, private auditors. And I'll speak a little bit later with regard to the process they involved as well. So you'll find a little bit more detail to the entities on which we are reporting on today. Finding from predetermined objectives. Chairperson and committee members, you would recall sometime in March, I did a presentation regarding performance information. You would recall when we audit performance information as the Office of the AG, there are three main criteria which we look at. We look at compliance, we look at your usefulness, and then we look at reliability. So we keep on by saying the legislation that you must have a plan, do you have a plan, is a plan containing the minimum required information. And as a checkbox exercise, yes, you have a plan, yes, it contains three to five-year period expenditure as required by the MTEF. Then you move on and say, but now that you have a plan, how useful is that pen to the users of the financial statement? So in other words, would any person coming off the street be able to interpret the plan and understand exactly what it is that this entity is supposed to be doing? Is it linked to the entity's mandate, and are these targets achievable and relevant to what the entity is supposed to be doing? Then once you've done your usefulness testing, the entity reports in terms of its performance report at the end of the year, then we take the performance report and see, again, what you set yourself out to achieve, how reliable, accurate, and complete is your reporting. That's now when we test what you actually reported. The target was 8, you're reporting 8, let's look, do you have supporting evidence, do you have a system to collect and collate the evidence, is the evidence readily available, and is this evidence really substantiating what you are reporting that you have achieved. So in terms of that, when you look at the findings for human settlement, they had issues on usefulness. Upfront, the issues that they had on their plan were with regard to presentation. So their plan basically contained certain targets and indicators which were not included in the performance report. There was consistency issues, but presentation issues, and then also relevance. I'm going to talk a little bit and talk about relevance because this is quite important. You ask me later on, but why? How are we saying that the targets of the department are not relevant to their mandate or what they're supposed to be doing? And this is quite a simple mix-up in terms of the department worked quite hard to address the SMART issue, the specific, measurable, attainable, and time-bound methods. But in doing so, when they were crafting their plan, they focused a lot on saying what we will produce is a report. Now, I'll use an example, and you will pardon me, committee members, without sounding like I'm flogging the donkey. Honorable Machobe will know what I'm talking about. So, let's say, for example, the sanitation program. If your target is to build 10,000 toilets, when you report, you must report quarterly or at the end of the year what your actual achievement was. And the way in which it's crafted in the plan is they will produce a report to say how much was achieved. So now the problem with it is if you achieve one and you produce the report, you then say you've achieved your target because you've produced your report to say how much you achieved. You're actually supposed to report on your progress of your actual performance throughout the year. And hence we tell that some of the targets which we had in there, which we identified, were not relevant as a result of this reporting process. But it did speak to what the entity is about, but in terms of how it was reported, that was addressed and give you an idea of the performance of the department. And with regard to the reliability, when we came to reporting now, obviously, if you have problems with, let me start off by saying, human settlements also moved in this area in the right direction, but they encountered a pitfall. So we would like human settlements as a sector to be able to report on what the sector has done as a whole. Which means if you take human settlements national department's report, you should be able to see how they fare in terms of the entire country, not where you see Western Cape and then you see Gauteng and then you see Limpopo. So you want to see the performance of each province and you have to go to each province and then add them all up together. So we're saying the national department should play a consolidation role so that somebody can overall see how we fare as an entire sector for human settlements in terms of our performance. So now in trying to achieve this goal, the department included certain key targets in annual performance and reported on some of those as well. But the problem then becomes once you're reporting on something, you are supposed to have the supporting evidence to say exactly how you arrived at those numbers. And that resulted in them reporting on stuff which they couldn't get information from the other guys which are dependent on, like the entities in some of the provincial department as well. So that was the main culprit or contributing factor to them incurring a finding on the reliability factor. And then with regard to compliance, to some extent the department was able, there's a little bit of bad news and good news here, because two things were done right, but then two things go a little bit left as well. The department was able to curb findings with regard to supply chain management, which means they don't have any irregular expenditure which was worth reporting on the audit report in the current financial year. With regard to HR, we reported last year that they did not have an HR plan as required by the Public Service Commission or the PPSA, and what happened is in the country is they compiled the plan and they submitted it was approved in a proper manner. But the department still has a lot of funded vacant positions, which are extensive enough for us to report on audit report. And then also payroll certification not certified on time. That just basically stems from the risk that if you don't certify payroll certification, how do you know which employees are working for you? It's called employees checks. So the department is supposed to have those checks in place to ensure that by the time we get to pay salaries, we know we're paying people who are really there. It's a control mechanism for management to make sure that you don't pay ghost employees, and that control was found wanting in the current year. And then with regards to expenditure management, I'm talking a lot and I'm doing it intentionally, but all the detail is contained in the big document. So if anybody has any questions, I'll refer to the big document just now. With regards to expenditure management, it's just again used with regard to the department. The department made certain payments on the rural housing infrastructure project. They were allocated a certain budget, and when it came to close to year end, a lot of money was spent on the project at year end, resulting in, you know, we made payments, but without having ensured that we actually received the value for those payments, resulting in prepayments. And in terms of the treasury regulations, before you make any prepayment, it's supposed to be agreed pre-upfront in your contract, and then also you must have certain processes in place to ensure that you get the value soon after the. So we found the department certainly at risk of making payments for which there was no value received, and it was recorded as expenditure. With regards to asset management, Chairperson, honorable members, this is again with regard to our management or lack of reconciliation controls, monthly reconciliation controls.
What's that?
Asset management.
Okay,
tell them. Oh, sorry, ma'am, do you have a screen there in front of you?
I'm an old person,
So you can use the slate, ma'am. Chairperson, if I may continue, other asset management, we're basically noting the lack of monthly reconciliation processes with regard to the sanitation or the capital expenditure assets. This finding has been in the department's audit report now over the past three financial years. It just basically got re-reported again because our recommendations of last year with regard to preparation of monthly reconciliations were either not implemented or implemented very late for them to make any noticeable change in the internal control environment and to allow the department to at any point in time know, I spend 100 rand on this program, how many units, how can I reconcile this amount to the number of units which are on the ground? And that's why that monthly reconciliation process is quite important. It gives you at any given point in time, at any end of the month, you know I've spent this much in terms of value and I've obtained this much in terms of the value and the units which are on the ground. And then financial statements, the AFS annual financial statements. This, again, we made a recommendation in the prior year that the department conduct or compile monthly financial statements. Now, Chairperson, monthly financial statements are not required in terms of legislation. They are only required to do the quarterly reports to Treasury and to the Portfolio Committee, and then the interim financial statements to Treasury, and then also the annual financial statements, which are then audited by us. But we are of the opinion, Chairperson, and we were last year, we still are, and we will maintain our viewpoint going forward, that the practice makes perfect. You do something once, you do it the second time, by the time you get to do it a couple of times, it becomes run of the mill. And these entities, our message basically saying to these entities out there that, yes, the first month you'll struggle, it's a lot of effort, but by the time you get to your second month, it should go easier. Let's use an example. I'm going to use an example of the accruals note, which is always a thorny issue in the department's financial statements. The first month you'll ask your people who are verifying that you've received your goods and services, but you haven't paid it, how much have we received? You go through one exercise to make sure everything is in there. Then by the second month, you just reconcile from where you were last month, you reconcile going forward, and then it becomes a process. When you get to the end of the year, you just reconcile 12 processes and you consolidate them. And what that also results in is less effort when you do financial statements in the end. Because annually, there's a big process from when financial year ends on 31 March up until 31 May to produce a set of credible, reliable, and complete financial statements in 2 months. Then it becomes such a huge exercise, and we are then at risk of missing certain things which we could have picked up had we done it throughout the year. So that's just the basic principle behind why we are requesting monthly financial statements. And then the significant deficiencies in internal control. So, and also before I move on, Chairperson and committee members, whenever we request entities to compile the monthly financial statement, they don't only tell us that it's not required in terms of legislation, but normally there's also a resource issue that comes to the front. And you don't really need additional capacity to do the monthly financial statements because the people who are there will still be the people who are required. Those are the same people who do the financial statements at year end. Instead of just doing it once a year, we're saying do it spread throughout the year, spread your load throughout the year, and consolidate all your efforts at year end instead of having to do one big process at year end. And in terms of the significant deficiencies in internal control, we've written that dashboard because this is high-level linked to our smiley face dashboard, the key controls. Chairperson, you would recall a couple of years ago we had this initiative that we called the quarterly key control assessment, where we said these are the minimum key controls which we feel should be in place at any entity to provide a progression towards clean administration. If an entity at least at the minimum does, you are on the right track. And it's actually quite a nice management tool that management can also use themselves to see at any given point in time where they are in terms of their key control assessment. But anyway, so that is a summary of the material significant findings which we've noted in terms of our audit report. Under leadership, we reported that there was a lack of oversight from leadership to ensure that the financial and performance management side of things are run smoothly in the entity, especially also with regard to the action plan. You know, annually departments and entities go to compile an action plan, but then they compile an action plan which doesn't really adequately address all the findings that you have. And sometimes when they actually even have an action plan implemented quite late in the financial year, and you find yourself that you're recurring the same findings again because you're implementing it later. The year's already left by the time you implement the action plan. And we feel that the department had an action plan. It was there. It wasn't really addressing the issues which it should have been addressing, and also that the implementation thereof was quite late in the financial year. And over and above that also, we requested that the department brief this committee on a quarterly basis regarding the implementation, the progress on the action plan. To what extent that was done, Jefferson, I would not know, but because of we feel that the action plan was inadequately monitored, it resulted in some of these key findings that we see in front of us here today. And then financial and performance management, that just speaks to management's daily reconciliation and processes with regard to, you know, how you compile your monthly accruals note, your monthly financial and performance report, and then also when you are busy procuring or transacting, are you complying with the laws and regulations? So because we've got a couple of non-compliance findings as well, that also results in here. Chairperson, in the absence of there being any questions or comments, now I will refer the committee to the big document. Does everybody have a big document? I'll be principal today, and everybody please put up your hands. I've got a big tech here on the Roma Club, so I can identify the need before I engage you to make sure that I meet expectation on the Roma Club.
I just want to be absolutely clear on this. These errors which come in different colors. Now, I do understand that you are only auditing the two national home builders and the national department. I understand that. But now, I don't understand why these are a different color to the main block. I don't know what the significance is of that. And then I want to comment whilst I am here. It would surely be, and I don't know whether it's possible, important for us from your other auditors to also have it reflected here instead of just these blanks.
Thank you, Honorable Bowman. The colors to the arrows certainly have a significance. That's why we've put the legend there on the bottom of the right hand of the screen. So we try and highlight it. If it goes down, it's red, it means it must get to a stage and it's a regression. If it's green, it's gone up, so it means it's an improvement. And if it's yellow, it's unchanged. Okay. And then with regard to the detail of the other entities, you would recall when I started my presentation, I said for you to run a clean administration, the green one, the green block under audit outcomes means you've got no findings on compliance with laws and regulations, you've got no findings on your performance information, predetermined objectives, and then in terms of your 1 plus 2 equals 3, you are financially unqualified, which means 1 plus 2 or your finances are balancing. So if you look at the block from 5 to 9, you see they are all green, so there were no findings. So the blue block, everywhere you see a blue block, it means there was a finding, which then in that line you see the audit outcome is yellow.
Thanks very much, Chair. Adilis, it's always a pleasure to have you. You always are flirting with us, and we enjoy it. Let me just get clarity, Chair, on this one thing of the entities. You said that they are privately audited.
And on the other hand, you said you've got an issue with the non-compliance in terms of reporting quarterly to yourself because of they are saying legislatively they are not bound to report to you. Now, how do you reconcile their audit performance vis-a-vis their actual mandate? So meaning, what informs you putting them here in terms of their audit outcomes? So that get that clarity to understand how does it, and is it legislated that they don't have to report to you? So that when we engage with them, we want to find out what are the issues, why do they not want to cooperate with the Auditor General when it comes to their audit outcomes? So I just want to find out that technical issue.
Thank you, Honorable Makhalapa. I think, just on a point of clarity, I wouldn't want the co-CEOs and the chairpersons to get beaten with a stick when they come to you. Certainly I know what this committee can do. But in terms of a point of clarity, when I say the entities are not required to report, I'm speaking specifically under financial statements. So in terms of the legislation, PFMA says, any entity, if you are compelled to comply with the PFMA, whether you are a department, a schedule 3, whatever, if you comply with the PFMA, you must produce your financial statement. And under section 40 and under section 55 of the PFMA, depending on whether you are a department or an entity, it says you will then submit those financial statements to the office of the AG to audit. Okay. So which means, I'm talking specifically on the financial statements. So which means, what happens is we are only legislators required to receive the interim financial statement and then also audit the year-end financial statements. But we are preaching to the entities out there that they must compile monthly financial statements so that they, at least by the time they compile the annual financial statement, that they are familiar with the process and they produce, which will then allow them to produce a more reliable, complete set of financial statements. That's the one issue. So in terms of reporting, it's not that they are not reporting to us quarterly, we're saying please do the financial statement on a monthly basis. Hence, as it is, they do quarterly reporting, but the quarterly reporting process is very summarized and high level and just gives the overview of the expenditure and the performance to oversight bodies such as yourself, the portfolio committee, and then also to National Treasury. So that's the one issue. The second issue with regard to the mandate is because in terms of the public audit, there are those audits which we do ourselves and which we don't do ourselves. But regardless of whether they are done by the privately owned guys or by us, in terms of our briefing here, we have to come and give you the full view as a portfolio committee of all entities within the human settlements portfolio so that you can adequately exercise your oversight responsibilities.
Questions the issue of the reliability. Let's work on the reliability issue. How do you sort that one out? Because if they don't give you those monthly financial reconciles that can make sure that by the end of the year they give you a credible, reliable financial statement, how do we deal with that issue now? Because of here the issue now is about reliability.
You got the support of the chairperson. No, Honorable Makhalapa, I think you are sitting in close proximity at the head of the table, sir. No, Honorable Makhalapa, I think what we must, for the sake of sounding a little bit condescending, just wrap our heads around is that remember they get audited by private auditors. But all of us as auditors comply with the minimum, you know, the accounting standards, or all our methodology gets approved by our IRBA and the SAICA, all our oversight bodies. So we also have quality controls and quality checks in terms of their process to make sure that once you produce your annual result that you follow a certain process which is approved or regulated, for lack of a better word. So what I'm saying is, each entity, any entity, whether you are audited by the AG or by, I'm just going to make an example, KPMG, Deloitte, or Pricewaterhouse. You are not required to do monthly financial statements. Even the department does not give out monthly financial statements, or they did not. At some stage, they started doing it in the financial year. But we it's not required for them to give us those monthly financial statements. But we have certain processes, like the quarterly review, and I'll speak to it now when I get to page 13 of this document, whereby the minister also said, in terms of her oversight role, she requested us to get closer to these entities, and we will now also be requesting them to do a dashboard review so that we can provide not only the minister, also this platform with up-to-date quarterly progress on the key controls, or the status of the key controls at these entities.
Okay, Lauren just also wants to have a bite, that if you indulge in chicken.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think it's also just important to note that this relationship is dealt with through the audit directive which the Auditor General issued in terms of the Public Audit Act. Remember, the Public Audit Act determines that the Auditor General can opt not to audit some of these entities, and traditionally or historically these are the ones which have not been audited by the Auditor General. So then we issue this audit directive, and in that audit directive we actually spell out exactly what it is that those entities and the auditors of those entities need to comply with. And we've got some processes in place on an annual basis to throughout the audit cycle and after the audit cycle to try and ensure that it's been compliance with our directives. For instance, in that directive we clearly spell out to the auditors exactly how they should audit performance information. So when a client audits performance information, you must follow exactly the same methodology as we followed. And we also now for the past 3 years prescribing the format of the audit report. So an audit report of a Section 4 to the entity audited by the Auditor General, audited by the past auditors, and one of our audit reports for similar findings should look exactly the same. So we are managing that relationship in that way.
When you were opening, you relate to the two institutions of which I'm also worried about. The two institutions, which is Tunisia and the CERCON. This liquidation process, no money. How long should it supposed to be taking? Because really, this process should have long, long, long closed off.
It's a very valid question, and I think in the case of Tbilisi House, it could easily be a time plus 4 years. It could be longer, four or five years. So I think it is taking quite long at this point in time, and I would suggest that the committee actually engage. See, there's no one left in CERCON and Tbilisi Homes. It's all the employees, I think the Tbilisi Homes employees went to the Housing Development Agency, HDA, you know. So the employees have been incorporated in, and those were the difficult processes. How do you deal with those issues, you know? So that has been dealt with. So my suggestion would be that at this point in time, the department is still ultimately responsible for this for these entities. The department come and specifically report to the committee on progress and action plan on how to wrap up these two entities, because it's certainly not a desirable situation that the liquidation process just goes on. There could be something that are preventing it from happening, but I think it's important that the committee understands exactly what is it that's holding up the process, what can be done to do it, and that the regular feedback to the committee to make sure that they close down timely in an appropriate manner.
Thank you, Chair. I don't think Doris is much, but he's reading off my note that I made here. Okay, Jefferson, as I was saying, could we please refer to the big document? Jefferson, I'm not going to go into too much detail in our briefing note. All the detail is contained in this document. It's got an overview of the purpose of the department, the vision and the mission. And I think the only important pieces of information that we feel might share with you, will highlight quickly on page 3. Of this document, you see the organizational structure. The reason why we've got it in here is because you would be aware that there were a number of changes over the past financial year. But in terms of our organizational structure, we've got it as it was on the reporting date, which was 31 March 2013. So don't be surprised if you see Honorable Minister Tokisi Kwale there as a minister. Put a note there at the bottom to say we